In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sanctifier of our lives. Amen. It makes me feel good to see that in our bulletin says that the homily is from the Reverend Eric Mason. So if this doesn't go well, it's in writing. So that gospel lesson that Scott just read for us, are you sure that was the right one for this Sunday? Yes, it is. Don't worry. Does it seem off?
Yes.
Not the right time of year for that story. I'll come back to that in a moment and simply say that when Eric reached out to me this week and then confirmed it yesterday, the first thing I did was I looked at the gospel lesson after I said yes, after I said happy to help. Then I looked at the gospel lesson. Truth be told, I love this particular story. And hopefully I'll at least be able to explain why in the course of these minutes together. Of course, one of the dangers is that if the preacher loves the story, then things could go long. And if the preacher hasn't been preaching much of late, the preacher may need to get a lot out there. So I don't know what you need to do. Settle in. There's some project work over here if you need that. Yes, this gospel lesson doesn't fit the context of the flow of the stories that we read Sunday to Sunday. This gospel lesson should show up when? Good Friday, yes. The story of the crucifixion shows up traditionally, and always will, on Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Unbeknownst to us, it very often and can show up on this particular Sunday, which is what? This. Yeah, I heard a little like Episcopalian rumbling in there, like, oh, I think it's the Feast of Christ the King. And which is a day in the church calendar that most of us just glide right past. I don't even know what that means, the Feast of Christ the King. Scott and I had to look up the color for the day. We both arrived thinking it's green because that's the color we've been using through that season that we call the season after Pentecost or ordinary time. Next Sunday is what? Yeah, the first Sunday of Advent, the Advent candles. We switch colors again to either purple or blue, and we begin counting. Advent 1, the first Sunday of Advent, is the beginning of the church liturgical year. It's like New Year's Day, which puts the Feast of Christ the King as the end of the year, New Year's Eve. This is the end. Now, mind you, and I loved when I looked at the bulletin online yesterday to get a clue about what was going to be happening this morning, that image on the front cover is meant to go side by side with the gospel lesson to get our attention, to arrest us. Hopefully you looked at it and said, wait, what is this doing here? Let's sum it up by saying that the Feast of Christ the King is about a king that is not the kind of king that we understand. That's the image of that king. I am of the No Kings movement. Let me say that I've been of the No Kings movement for as long as I can remember, that there you could make a choice, I suppose, between monarchy and something else. I'm not a monarchist. I don't like monarchies. They're strange to me. Seems like a waste of a lot of resource. But this particular day is the Feast of Christ the King. And many of us may need to figure out what that means to us. What does it mean that we call Christ the King? The people of Israel, Jesus' community, they wrestled with kingship over and over again. If you know even a little bit about the history, you realize that at a certain point in time, the people said, you know what we need? We need a king. I don't know that people ever really say that. But according to the stories that have been passed down, there was a certain point in time in the history of Israel that the people said, we need a king. And the prophets said, no, you don't. That would be a bad idea. And eventually, the people got what they wanted, which turned out to be not what they wanted. And Jesus is in that tradition, but his kingdom, that kingdom of which we say he is the king, is not like kingdoms that we imagine. Not at all. In fact, it is the opposite of kingdoms that we imagine. It is the opposite of power. It is the opposite of accumulation. And we know that. I think intellectually we know that. Deep within us, I think it's a thing we're still figuring out. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said over and over again. In fact, if he said anything more often than that, I don't know what it is. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then what would he do after he said that? He'd tell a story. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who had two sons. One came to him and said, give me everything that you owe me. And he took it. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who sowed seed, cast it along the side of the road. Some of it was beautiful and was harvested. Some of it fell along the road and never sprouted up. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who loses a coin, sweeps the house clean to find it. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who needed laborers for his vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is like what? It's not what we expect. That's the feast of Christ the King, and yet we're still stuck with this particular gospel story today, which is a visual and visceral story. We can see it. We don't need anyone to paint the picture for us. We can imagine it. Jesus, on the last day of his life, being executed by a kingdom, by the powers that rule. And it says that there was a criminal to his left and a criminal to his right, but in that place, at that time, there were crosses everywhere, and people were hung up on them, and they were all criminals. It's a band of thieves. And one of them turns to Jesus and says, if you are who you say you are, get us out of this mess. Yeah, I understand that language, that feeling. If you are who you say you are, and it doesn't look like you are who you say you are, but if you are, there's still time. We're still breathing here. Get us out of this. And the other one, nearest, I suppose, to hear all of that, says, can't you see? We deserve this. This is who we are. This one, no. And then he turns to Jesus and says this remarkable line, and this is why this story has meant so much to me over time. I just don't know what happened to him in that moment where breathing is becoming difficult, and he knows what's coming. And with that breath, he sucks it in and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He doesn't ask for anything more than to be remembered. Hold that image, that sound, that longing that you can imagine from him. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom. Whatever that kingdom is, I want to be remembered. That's a powerful moment. Even now, I can feel the weight of those words. Now, let's talk about being remembered and memory for just a minute. I am not as good at remembering as I used to be. Maybe it's just too many data points, too many passwords that I have to remember, so that I've given over to, if my device says to me, do you like this password? Do you want to use this one? Yeah, sure. Hopefully you will remember it, and then I won't have to. But I'm also just forgetting names. There's a thing about retirement. I have, from time to time, have to remind me what day of the week it is. I forget. But I also have memories. And I have memories that stir up. And sometimes those memories come from such a deep place. And I say, why am I thinking about that right now? Why is that memory coming back to me? I don't know why, but there it is. And you know what that feels like, because I know you do. It's as if you're living it right there again. Sometimes the emotions themselves come flooding in from this deep-rooted memory. I don't remember that her eyes were brown. I do remember what it was like when those eyes looked at me. I don't remember when I realized that my first son's eyes were blue, but I know when he looked at me, that feeling. Jesus, remember me that way. Remember me in such a way that I live, because you remember me. That I'm alive, because you remember me. There's a novel that I read many years ago that came to mind in light of this story. It often does. I hesitate to say that the novel, the name of it is, well, there's, I guess it fits in the theme of the day. It's A Brief History of the Dead is the name of the story, which is not the kind of thing that you would necessarily pull off a shelf, but I'd read a review, seemed interesting, and then it was interesting. Brief History of the Dead tells the story of two worlds. One world is where people who are dead live. That's where it's a big, unremarkable city. Every person has a place, a role. They're living out lives. They know each other. They know that they're not among the living. And yet, they are alive and with each other. They also know one other thing. They know that the people, they will stay there. They will live their lives there until the last person, well, from there, from Earth, loses memory of them. So they are alive in their place as long as they are remembered in this place. But as those memories fade, and when the last person who remembers them is gone, they disappear. And no one knows what happens to those people then. So that's one of the worlds in the story. The other world is the world of Earth. It's the middle of the 21st century. There are pandemics that don't stop. Genetic alterations that are creating these continuous pandemics so that slowly but surely, the humans are dying off. And so are their memories, and people are fading away. Until there's one person left on the planet. She's a researcher at a base in Antarctica. And she doesn't know the consequences of her failing memory, but you know what she's doing in the story to keep herself alive? She's remembering. She's remembering the people in her life that have given her shape, the people who are no longer with her. She's remembering, 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 and she has no idea of the beauty and the consequence of her remembering. Jesus, remember me in that way when you come into your kingdom. So I don't know what that kingdom is. I don't know exactly what it means to be king of that kingdom, but it's not what we think. And while Jesus taught over and over again about the kingdom of heaven, I think in some way that kingdom, that one person was longing for on that particular day is a place where no one is forgotten, ever. A place where everyone is remembered. I am remembered. You are remembered. We are remembered. They are remembered. That is the kingdom of heaven, where no one is forgotten. Everyone is remembered forever and forever. Amen.